Welcome to Module 9 of the Supplements Explained Masterclass. I'm your host and natural health researcher, Nathan Crane. I'm really happy you're joining me and my guest experts and doctors for this important masterclass. In this module, Dr. Furman will be sharing with us the essential supplements you need if you're on a whole food, plant-based, or vegan diet. There's some critical life-saving information in this module you need to know, so make sure to watch the entire thing.
Hi, I'm Dr. Furman. I'm a board-certified family physician, nutritional researcher, 7 times New York Times bestselling author, and president of the Nutritional Research Foundation. I've spent most of my life and my career in helping sick people recover from chronic illnesses with nutritional excellence. I'm very passionate about the possibility that people don't have to be sick, and they can use nutrition to get well, and the same nutritional excellence enables people to get rid of their high blood pressure, their diabetes, their autoimmune conditions, melt away their heart disease, and get their cognition and brain fog to lift and feel better about their health and everything, feeling getting better on their body, because we're a disease-resistant organism. That same nutritional excellence leads for slowing the aging process and keeping ourselves fit and younger longer and keeping our mental faculties as we age and giving us the best possibility of having a happy and healthy life to 100 years old. So we live in an era with this unprecedented opportunity to slow the aging process and live longer than ever before. And what we found that enables us to do this is actually to switch our diet from one that mixed together plant foods and animal products to one that's predominantly plant-based. And people use that term plant-based to mean mostly plants and animal products that might be used as a condiment or an occasion, special occasion, or in very small amounts, but in no significant amounts. I know the word plant-based is kind of confusing and it could be mean more than 50%, could be 75% plant-based, but that's not really plant-based if it's considered 75% plants, because that could be 25% animal products, and that wouldn't fit the criteria for plant-based. So plant-based usually means at least 90% of calories from plants. And, of course, some people use the term whole food plant-based to mean among those plants you're eating, they're not using processed foods like commercial baked goods and chips and French fries and, you know, things that are not plant-derived foods that's not good for people that have bags and boxes that are processed foods. The term vegan is often referred to a person that's 100% plant-based, not even a tiny bit of animal products, including an animal product-derived food like honey. But also, the word vegan does not refer to the quality of what they're eating, so they could be on a very unhealthy diet. Just because it's all plants doesn't make it healthy. Your plant-based diet doesn't have to be perfectly healthy either. A whole food plant-based diet could be mostly like a macrobiotic or rice-based diet, which is not really a diet designed for longevity, or a fruit-based diet, a fruitarian diet. Lots of types of, for example, of plant-based diets, or even lots of types of whole food vegan diets that may not be ideal for human lifespan. So I coined the term nutritarian diet to be more specific, more definitive in describing our dietary portfolio that's designed to maximally enable human lifespan and slow the aging process. I use this term nutritarian to make sure people know exactly what it means to eat a diet of nutritional excellence to slow the aging process and maximize human lifespan. And the word nutritarian means rich in nutrients, but also in comprehensive in its nutritional approach to make sure we're getting optimal levels of all the nutrients humans need to maximize immune function and protection against cancer. And those nutrients humans need are mostly found in colorful plants. And we're finding now that taking Acidophilus and Bifidus and probiotics doesn't give us an optimal microbiome compared to eating a wide variety of plant fibers and a huge variety of foods, including onions and different varieties of mushrooms and both raw greens and cooked greens. And in other words, and different types of seeds and nuts and berries and fruits, that the variety of the diet giving a variety of different types of nutrients and fibers give us the broadest spectrum of bacteria that live in the gut that now powerfully support the intraepithelial lymphocytes, the immune systems that live around the digestive tract that's our primary defenders at the gates of the castle. That there's no way we can adequately have a strongly protective immune system against cancer unless we're eating a plant-based diet. And the type of plant-based diet that gives us the most protection is a nutritarian diet. Now, a nutritarian diet can be vegan, or a person could eat a small amount of animal products, special occasions, or a little bit of flavoring a few times a week, a few ounces here or there, or you know, certainly under 5% of total calories. But it's still a nutritarian diet means that we're not guaranteeing the optimal level of certain nutrients that are not that are found in animal products or better absorbed in animal products than they would be in plants. And those four nutrients that are better found in animal products are DHA and EPA, which are commonly called fish oil. But vegans can get it from, and people can get it from algae-derived fish oil, because that's where the fish get it from eating the algae. And you take the algae that are grown in labs and under very pure conditions, and they purify these oils, purify EPA and DHA. We get that from plant material to make sure our levels of getting the benefits of eating fish or salamanders or snakes or grasshoppers of these omega-3 containing animal products. And also B12, because B12 is not found in any significant concentration in plant foods. You have to get B12 from animal products or you have to take it from a supplement. Now, even when you're taking it from animal products, unless you're taking animal products multiple times a day, you're still not going to get enough B12. Because the body only absorbs a little tiny bit at a time. So that's why we give a higher dose in a supplement. The RDI might be 4 or 5 micrograms, but we still give people, you know, 50 to 75 micrograms because we only absorb a small percent. We take it all at one time. So we're giving people a substantial amount of B12 when you're on a vegan, plant-based, or nutritarian diet. The next nutrient we want to supplement is zinc. Because the phytates in plant foods make us not absorb zinc as effectively, increasing the requirement for zinc by about 50% in people on plant-based or vegan diets. Again, you couldn't eat enough animal products to get enough zinc unless you were eating so much animal products that accelerated aging and increased risk of cancer. So we don't want to rely on animal products for zinc, we just want to take a little extra zinc. We use a zinc chelate that mixes different types of zincs to make it more absorbable. But that's not as important as it is to titrate and just to have a little extra zinc and not to think of getting huge amounts, but to get that optimal sweet spot. And the fourth nutrient, not high in animal products, include K2, a very valuable nutrient to take K2. We get plenty of K1 from plant foods, and the body can make a little K2 from the K1, but not optimal amounts, which has beneficial effects on keeping our blood vessels youthful and preventing calcium deposits. The next nutrient is iodine. Iodine, people are not, we're trying to get off iodinated salt, and you can get it from plants in the form of like seaweeds, like kelp. But mostly we add the 150 micrograms a day of iodine, the RDI, because people aren't getting seaweed all the time and putting kelp on everything they're eating. They're making sure that we make sure people get that iodine. But we want to be careful, because when we're using iodine as a supplement or we're using it from kelp or seaweed, was a narrow window of optimal here. We don't want to take too much. We want to be between like 100 and 300 a day. We supplement with 150, that's the RDI. But if you're using kelp, you could get too much iodine, so don't use more than like a tenth of a teaspoon of kelp, because that has 150 micrograms of iodine in it. Don't overdose with that stuff. And lastly, vitamin D. Has nothing to do with being vegan or not, or animal products or not, because vitamin D is somewhat present in mushrooms. They add it to milk, but really vitamin D is not a vitamin. It's a hormone made by the body. It's the sunshine vitamin. It's critically important for optimal health and immune function later in life, and it is good to make sure your level is adequate. So we're minimizing sun exposure. We don't want to get sunburn and wrinkle our skin and get certain types of skin damage or skin cancer. So in doing so, even if we're getting some sunshine, it's better to get a blood test and supplement accordingly. And we usually recommend people supplement 50 milligrams or 2,000 IUs a day of vitamin D and adjust it accordingly up or down, because every 1,000 extra you take a day usually raises your level in your blood about 10 points. So if your levels are 22 on 2,000, you may need 3,000 or 4,000 to get that level. Probably just 3,000 would be enough. So I'm saying start with 2,000. If your level's not good enough, add an extra 1,000. That should be sufficient. It's rare that a person would ever need to take 4,000. And some people do well enough with just 1,000, and that would be a potential possibility for somebody. But when you're taking 1,000 or less, it's best to check your blood test too to make sure you're in that sweet spot, which of course the ideal level is between 30 and 50 on your 25 hydroxy vitamin D blood test. All right, so just to be clear, I'm an advocate of a nutritarian diet, which is a certain type of whole food plant-based diet. And we utilize certain foods with very powerful anti-cancer effects. Those six foods I have people memorize and keep at the forefront of their thoughts with this GBOMBS acronym, greens, G-B-O-M-B-S, greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds, like flax seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds, sesame seeds. Did you eat your seeds today? Are you going to have mushrooms today for sure in a soup or a mixed vegetable dish? Are you going to put chopped onion or scallion or green onion on your salad? Is your salad going to contain lettuce and some cruciferous greens, such as bok choy or arugula or baby kale or something? Are you going to have both those every day? Because let me tell you something. To have maximum immune function, we need both lettuces for the sulfoquinivals and green cruciferous vegetables for the isothiocyanates. And it's better not to supplement that. I can give you a supplement of like sulforaphane or indole-3-carbinol, but we're finding that you don't get the anti-cancer benefits compared to eating a diet rich in sulforaphane and indole-3-carbinol. Because you can take too much of it in a concentrated form. It can be a pro-oxidant, not an antioxidant. It's the right level, a low level, and the wide assortment of these phytochemicals that give people the most protection and immune function. Not saying this nutrient is good, so we should then concentrate it and take it in a pill. Now, in most cases, you're better off not doing that and taking that nutrient in its natural form, eating more of the baby sprouts and the microgreens and the mescaline lettuce mixes and the, you know, different type and the foods that were the mushrooms. Better to get your ergotheanine from mushrooms, not from taking an extract of ergotheanine. For example, I eat mushrooms every day, but I don't eat like an assortment of 10 types of mushrooms every day. So I take a supplement that has the 10 assortments of mushrooms that are so protective. And so I do recommend people use some other plant materials that are not generally eaten, like, you know, green tea extracts or turmeric or curcumin extracts or astragalus or elderberry or different mushroom extracts or, you know, so we're talking about adding some particular anti-cancer plant material to an otherwise excellent diet. But are those things we don't regularly consume adequately in our diet, or those products or those nutrients not generally found in plants in a rich enough amount? You know, one thing we found from the scientific literature over the last decade is that protein does matter. A lot of the plant-based community is telling us, protein doesn't matter. You can get plenty of protein no matter what you eat. Just eat potatoes and rice and it'll give you enough protein. But that's not what the studies showed. The overwhelming amount of data from the studies show that, yes, more animal protein made for shorter lifespans, but it found that more plant protein, particularly from nuts and seeds and greens and beans, laid for longer lifespan. And that protein bioavailability and absorption goes down with aging. And as we get older, we need a little more protein, like above the age of 80. And so utilizing maybe a plant-based protein, or certainly paying attention to having hemp seeds and sunflower seeds and beans and lentils and soybeans in your diet is important as we age. And some people that are getting, you know, muscle wasting or weakness could then consider using a protein supplement, such as a pumpkin seed or a hemp seed protein or a pea protein supplement in a little small amount. And some elderly people may even need some small amount of animal product if their protein levels or albumin are getting too low, if their digestive capacity is diminished to the point where they're not thriving on plants, they need to pay attention to keeping adequate protein. So too much can be bad, but also too little is something to be considered. As a physician, sometimes I come encounter people that don't seem to thrive on a vegan diet. They want to, or they know it's the healthiest way to live. It's rare, but then we do comprehensive amino acid analysis on them and test, and we do find some people may need a little more of certain amino acids. The most common one that vegans could need more is taurine. And then, of course, the next one is choline sometimes, and creatine sometimes too.
but usually not that often. So taurine is the one that most people and most vegan athletes do better when they supplement with a little extra protein and take the hemp seeds for protein and maybe add a little bit of taurine, but usually not necessary unless a person seems to not be getting their full muscular and protein levels. And we could determine that as people age because they obviously, as they're aging, if they're losing too much muscle mass and getting weaker, getting too thin, then we can look at those blood tests, the amino acid profile, and look at the total protein and the albumin level in the blood to see that it's still in the favorable range. Should they be a person that might want to consider some degree of protein supplementation? To wrap up this segment, to make sure you have the most important points here, remember, your diet or the food you put in your mouth is your primary source of nutrients, not the supplements you use. And we are advocating people live longer and prevent cancer by eating plant-based diets. The nutritarian diet is the gold standard of plant-based diets to maximally slow aging and prevent cancer. And then, once you're on this type of diet, we use supplements carefully and we add certain things that are needed that are helpful to make yourself live longer and give you more protection. And those things include DHA and EPA, zinc, B12, vitamin D, iodine, and K2. And then sometimes we add a little extra of certain things to make the diet even more superior, powerful against cancer, like green tea extract, mushroom extracts, astragalus, elderberry, beta-glucan. You know, those extra things we use to give people turmeric or curcumin extracts. Certain things we give this to give more even powerful anti-cancer effects that are not core or essential to things that are missing, but just making sure we're adding a little extra superfoods, like we use sprouts and microgreens to add more super nutrients to the diet. Glad you've joined us. And don't forget, nutritional excellence is fun, exciting. It makes you more happy, removes fear, and enhances the pleasure and confidence in your life. Go for it.